I know a lot of you already think that I think strangely, but the first thing that came to my mind when I read the gospel yesterday was the movie Aladdin. If you've seen the Disney movie Aladdin, it's about a genie and he grants wishes. And when I heard these words from James and John, when they say, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." I'm like, are you asking for three wishes or what, guys? You know, it's as if they think Jesus is their genie and they can just ask whatever they want. And they made the fundamental mistake of they wanted to be served instead of serve. They wanted Jesus to do something for them instead of wanting to do something for Jesus. And many of us approach our faith in God in the same way. You hear a lot of people say, well, I want a good homily, or I want good music, or I don't get anything out of Mass. Do you hear that word, get? I don't get anything out of Mass. If you don't get anything out of Mass, it's because you don't give anything at Mass. We have come to serve like Jesus and not to be served. Following Jesus means being a servant. And one of the first things we learn in today's gospel about being a Christian servant is that we can't be in charge. It's not about power. Yesterday evening, I went over to my parents' house to work on their computer for them. And my dad, he's an engineer by trade, so he's very smart. He's been working on computers ever since they were brought in to the business place. And so the two of us get our heads in there, and we're working on it together. And he wants to do it his way, and I want to do it my way. And this happens every time we work together. We end up arguing. And I love the man dearly, and I know he loves me. He's retired, and I've been trying to get him to come and work for us here at Christ the King. I figure, hey, he's free labor, right? But I know that would be bad news. A lot of times there's enough chiefs, but not enough Indians. I see this sometimes with our parish projects. It's kind of hilarious to watch. There's lots of guys who want to be in charge, who think they know what to do. And many of them do. You guys are so skilled at so many things. But sometimes I find in the Christian community, it takes a special grace, a special gift, to just step back and serve. I remember when we did our irrigation project out there on the South Lawn. I had it all planned out and written out, and I had instructions typed out to give everybody that morning. And I came out, and the guys were already started. And I was so mad, because I'd worked so hard to outline all these instructions to keep it organized and have everything done in order. And I had to make the decision very quickly. What do I do about this? And so I went up to one of the guys who looked like he was in charge, and I said, well, what do you want me to work on? And just become an Indian. Sometimes, as a Christian, that's what we have to do. God may have given you a great gift to be a leader even, but sometimes he's just calling you to not be the chief, but the Indian. Jesus, you'll notice in the Gospels, he didn't want to be a leader. He came to serve those he was called to lead. And I think there's a difference between wanting to be a leader and doing what God asks you to do when he calls you to lead. I didn't want to be a pastor. I keep telling Father Darrell over there at St. Francis, I will come back and be your associate any day. I get paid the exact same amount and there's a lot less headaches, right? Not that I would want to leave you guys, but just the trials of, you know, having to manage a business and things that break and all that. But God calls us to lead sometimes, but it doesn't mean we want to be a leader. You'll notice in the Gospels how Jesus will slip away a lot of times to try to go pray, or he'll slip away because they want to go and make him king. And he's avoiding crowds at times. Why? Because he doesn't want to be this iconic figure that's this powerful leader. He wants to be a servant to the people. I did a report in my last year in seminary on the election of a pope, how a pope gets elected. And one of the interesting facts I found is that they do the voting in the Sistine Chapel, and then they burn the ballots with dye, and depending on the color of the dye, they know whether a pope's been elected or not. And then as soon as the pope's elected, they take him into an adjacent room. And this room is nicknamed the Room of Tears. And the reason is that every guy who gets elected to be pope goes in that room and starts crying. Why? Because they don't want the burden of leadership. They want to be a servant. And it's so hard sometimes to be a servant when you're given leadership. I noticed a couple weeks ago we were at a meeting for all the high school pastors. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden this man walks up to me. Everybody else is sitting down. He walks up to me with a pitcher of water and a pitcher of coffee in the other hand. And I look up, and it's the bishop. And he's going around from guy to guy saying, coffee or water? A servant that leads. Deacon Len, another great example. Last week I had this past week, a clergy conference that was mandatory for us. And we had a funeral. And right away, Deacon says, Father Matt, can I take that rosary for you? A servant who leads. You see, a follower of Christ does not seek leadership or to be in charge, but they serve the responsibilities that they have been given. It's not about being a leader or being the master or having the power or authority. It's about, okay, God, if you ask me to do it, I'll do it. And if you ask me to lead, I'll lead. But I'm going to do it with humility and as a servant. And brothers and sisters, this is the essence of stewardship, is service to one another. I want to thank those of you who have returned your stewardship packets. We're now getting those entered, and we'll send you reports like last year out on what you signed up for. And I thank you for your dedication. But I hear frequently from people, it's interesting, they say, Father, I'm too busy to do this, or I've got a lot going on, and I know some of you do. I was talking to somebody the other day who has some very severe marital problems, and they weren't able to fulfill a responsibility here at the parish. They felt. I know a lot of times your kids have a lot of sports going on or extracurricular activities, sometimes even sickness. But you know, I found that there's a great blessing in fulfilling what God has asked us to do, specifically in the time of difficulty. You see, if we look at stewardship as just one more thing to do, then guys, it's completely understandable that you would want to put that to the side. Because we tell ourselves, you know, Father will understand, or God understands. But I cannot tell you how many times I've found that specifically fulfilling my God-given responsibilities in His church is exactly what got me through difficult times. I remember a time in college when I was going through a severe depression. And I mean, we were talking laying in bed all day, wouldn't get up to eat, contemplating ending my life. And I remember one day I was supposed to sacristan at our chapel, which is the person who goes in and they prepare everything ahead of time, like Bill did tonight. You get the chalice ready and the ciboria ready and all those things. And I remember calling somebody and asking them to do it for me, and they weren't around. And so I felt like, gosh, I don't feel like it at all. And I need to go down there, but I'm supposed to do it. And I went down there and did it anyway, and I felt just miserable. But you know, after I did it, man, felt 100% better. Didn't fix everything. Didn't take away the fundamental problems. But I felt closer to God. I felt like I'd done something worthwhile that day. You see, it's specifically being a servant and being a steward in the midst of trial and tribulation that can give us the grace to see past our problems. It may even give you the answer you need to your difficulty. Our second reading today says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has similarly been tested in every way." And guys, I don't know about you, but I find that a huge comfort. The idea that Jesus has gone through what I've gone through, that Jesus has felt the temptation that I've felt, that he's been tested in the way I've been tested. Isn't that a comfort to you? And what did Jesus do? Well, it was actually exactly through serving others in his difficulties. There were so many times that in the Gospels where it says he wanted to go away to pray, and people would nab him, be like, "Come and heal this guy." And I can't imagine what Jesus must have felt like the night before he died, knowing that he was going to be taken to the cross. I mean, sometimes we feel like we don't want to fulfill the things that we should do for God's church. Sometimes we feel like we can't tithe or can't help with this or that. Imagine how Jesus felt. I don't want to do that. Yet it was through service, Christian service, that he fulfilled his commitment, the commitment he made to God. For some of us, we're doing a wonderful job at that, and I commend you. For some of us, we struggle with it, and probably all of us at times. But for some of us, and perhaps maybe for all of us, it'd be good to ask the question, when will Jesus, in serving his church, be first in my life? St. Augustine says this: "Jesus Christ is not valued at all until he is valued above all."